Father, bless these words to our heart in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy 30. In verse 19, Moses said to the people in Israel, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. By the way, God does that for you. He'll set before you life and death and blessings and cursings. By life and death, it doesn't really mean to be alive or to be killed or dead. It means things that are life imparting, that add to your life, or things that take away from your life. Blessings and cursings, things that will bless you and things that will be curses to you. Therefore, guess which one you should choose? The good one or the bad one? What do you think? But Moses realized that not everybody is a really sharp blade in the drawer. And so he said, in case you're not sure, in case this is a little too complicated for you, choose life. Choose life. Choose to be blessed. Don't choose death. Do not choose to be cursed. Choose to be blessed, that both you and your descendants may live. Young people, God is constantly putting that in front of you. You don't necessarily realize it all the time, especially when you're young, but even when you're older. However, the older you get, the more this comes to your mind that this is true. Your life is made of choices. And what your life amounts to in the end, as far as your experience here goes, is the collection of your choices. Some of those choices will be very big choices. Who do I marry? Or should I move to a different country or a different state? Things like that. What does God want as a call for me? And those are very important big choices, but really, most of our choices are fairly small choices. What am I going to pick for lunch? Which shirt should I put on today? Those are fairly small choices. Some choices don't have such a great impact, but some choices are extremely important, and I don't always know the importance of those choices. If I want to know how to make the right choice, then I have to acknowledge God in all my ways so that He directs my path. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, Joshua 24 says in verse 15, and this is a very similar kind of a deal as to what Moses was saying. Moses' successor, the one who took over for him, was a guy named Joshua. And he said to the people, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, why in the world would it seem evil to somebody to serve the Lord? You know what? Even today, some people say, it seems evil to me to serve the Lord. It seems like it's not going to be in my best interest. And so Joshua is telling them, if that's you, if you think it's an evil thing for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. Then decide. If you don't want to serve God, who are you going to serve? Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, and he's talking about the Red Sea there, the sea that got parted. Now, he's referring to the Egyptian gods. And when the Red Sea parted, God told Moses, hold out your staff, the sea parted. Israel, as they were escaping Egypt, went through on dry ground. Once Israel got through, the Egyptian army was pursuing them in their chariots. They get into the Red Sea because it's still parted, but they're not depending on God. They're depending on their little Egyptian false gods, the fake gods, the gods that don't really exist. Somebody carved them out of a piece of wood and poured a pile of gold on them, and they said, whoa, God. It wasn't any kind of a god, or the sun. The sun is a star. It's not a god. But you know what? They worship these things as though they were God. And so you say, okay, fine. You're going to go into the Red Sea trusting your fake gods. And guess what happened? They got the result of trusting fake gods. It didn't work out for them. The sea closed in on them and they all drowned. So much for their fake gods. But Joshua is saying here, I'm going to serve the God who parted the Red Sea, but if you think it's better, go ahead and serve the gods who couldn't save the Egyptian army from the Red Sea. I'll serve the God who parted the Red Sea. And then he continues, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Our God gave us the land of the Amorites. Their fake God couldn't protect them against us. But if you want to serve the fake God who couldn't even protect them against us, then go ahead. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Choose who you will serve. Choose life or choose death. Young people, it's not too early. When I was a kid, and I think this was even before I was a teenager, so I was about the age that some of you are now. I had a group of friends, and I'd say more than half of those friends started making choices that were really bad choices. They didn't say to themselves, these are really bad choices, so I'm going to make those choices. No, they said, oh, this will be fun. Or I'll be accepted with other people because of this. Or somebody's going to think I'm cool or something because of this other thing. And they started making bad choices. And I remember one of them started smoking cigarettes. Now, when you're a kid, that's such a big decision. In fact, it's a really big bad decision. And they start smoking cigarettes. And then eventually some of them started doing drugs. And I remember one of them in particular ended up in jail for about 20 years because of drugs. And all kinds of bad things happened to them because of their choices. On the other hand, I had some other friends who made wise choices. And even though there was pressure to make bad choices, they made wise choices. And those people ended up really well, even as kids. They were the ones who did well in school. They were the ones who got into a good college. They were the ones who did well in college. They were the ones who ended up very successful, even in this world. And so these are the products of our choices. Your life is a product of your choices. The fact that you are young doesn't mean that you don't have to consider your choices. As you consider your choices, young people, make sure that your choices are the choices that God would have you make. God will never tell somebody go out and smoke cigarettes. God will never tell somebody go out and start drinking alcohol. God will never tell somebody go out and start doing drugs. Go out and steal something. God will never tell you that. Why? Because it will destroy you in the end. People say, oh, it's just a little bit. It's a little bit of fun. Well, the funny thing about sin is there is some fun in it for a short period of time. But you see, that's the deceptive nature of the devil. He'll make it look good, and in the end, the result of it is deadly. It can kill you. People, they're young and they get into drugs. Of all the causes of death in America, the biggest number of young people die because of drugs. Well, somewhere along the line, they made a choice. One of the biggest reasons for cancer is cigarettes, and alcohol. Well, somewhere along the line, they made a choice. One of the biggest problems that younger people face is they land in jail for things like stealing. Well, somewhere along the line, they made a choice. But you know, some of these choices are more subtle than that. Those are kind of obvious mistakes. Wrong friends. Friends who are ungodly or who want you to do ungodly things are not good friends. But sometimes it's the friends who pull you into these wrong choices that will eventually do a lot of damage to your life. Stay away from the sources of the bad choices and from the bad choices themselves. There's going to be people who tempt you with all kinds of things. Maybe they'll offer to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend later on when you're a little bit older, and it may be really tempting to you, and you say, oh, that would be so nice, and this person looks nice, and they're funny, and they make me feel good. But they'll try to take you down the wrong path. Satan's very good at that. I've known wonderful Christians who've absolutely ruined their life because they got into a relationship with somebody who was not godly. In one case in particular, it was a pastor's son who was not godly. But because it was a pastor's son, this person didn't recognize that this was an ungodly friend. Bad choices. You want to make the right choices. The right choices are going to take you very far in life. No matter what it is that God puts into your heart that you should do, whatever kind of a dream you have with God, whether it's a dream as like maybe you're a missionary or a pastor or some other servant, or maybe it's a different type of dream. I want to be a doctor or a vet or whatever. Whatever type of dream God puts into your heart for your future, you are able to achieve it with the right choices. But the choices start when you're young. In John 15:5, this is the best way to make choices. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, that means I get into the Word of God. And I in him, that means the love of God is in me. That person bears much fruit. Whatever that person does becomes very successful. For without me, you can do nothing. And in verse 7, under the same conditions, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. That is an excellent way to be successful. How does God define your success? By right choices. They may not be something that you become famous or everybody knows about it, but God knows about all of it. Those right choices will become your success. Drawing near to God through the Word of God, through church, through prayer, through reading your Bible. God calls that a pathway to success. Making the right decisions that are right with God because you've acknowledged Him before you made the decision. God calls that a pathway to success. The only real success that we have is a success with God. There was a guy that Jesus talked about. He worked very hard. He was a farmer. All of his life, he worked really hard. And he had these big barns, and he filled them up with food and all the things that he grew, and he filled them up so much that he had to build bigger barns, and he filled those up. And then finally, he says to himself, all right, my barns are all full. I'm set for life. I don't have to worry about anything. I can kick up my feet, relax. And God said, you're a fool. Which, of course, seems kind of shocking. But God called him a fool. Why? Because God told him, this very night, I will demand your soul of you. In other words, you did all that. You work to put stuff in a barn, but you're going to die tonight. So what good did it actually do you? And people in the world would say, wow, he filled up his barns. He's very successful. But that's not success. That just means you have a full barn. But for that man, the barn being full meant nothing because he died the night he filled it. And it was of no benefit to him whatsoever. Somebody else got the benefit of all his labors. He didn't see any benefit from it at all. He just had the labor. It's like that, young people. When you do something, when you make a choice, make it a good choice. Make it a choice that'll benefit you both here and in eternity. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be religious. What it really needs to be is right with God. Some people become doctors or teachers or other things. And God wants them to do that, and that's a good choice. But some people become those things just because they think they can make some money at it. They don't consider whether God wants them to do it or not, and God calls that a bad choice. Sometimes people make choices because they think they're going to find some kind of joy or satisfaction or comfort or wealth or whatever in it. But Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life, and it's talking to God. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Some people make choices because they think they'll make them happy. But the only place where we really get full happiness is when we make a choice where we have the presence of God going with us, where God is with us in it, where we're working with God, not against Him. That's a good choice. That's where you find joy. At His right hand, and that is talking about righteousness and strength, power, when I'm right with God, I'll experience God working on my behalf, and there I will find pleasures, things that are happy to me, things that are fulfilling to me, things that satisfy me. They come with doing it with God. You see, we abide in Him and He abides in us, and we bear much fruit. We have great, fantastic results. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, this is the ultimate determination of a good choice, of success. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, he is talking to believers here. Believers will appear before God at the great white throne, which is different than the judgment seat of Christ. But we must appear at the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done. Did you do things in response to God? Did you do things in the leading of God? Did you pray and ask God to direct your path? Those will be great success to you. Those will be great rewards. The judgment seat of Christ is not there to judge me whether I go to heaven or not. I'm already going to heaven. That's been decided when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. The judgment seat of Christ is for reward. Those rewards last forever. Those rewards you cannot ever lose. They go well beyond your time on earth. They go completely throughout all of eternity. Those are the best, most important rewards. The person who gets those rewards is the person who is truly successful. If I'm never famous or I never become a millionaire or whatever, but I did that which God said, go this way, choose this thing, be occupied with that, Even if it doesn't make me rich, or some people want to be famous, for the life of me, I can't figure out why. But some people do. Even if that never comes, but God says to me, well done, when I get home to be with the Lord, and I'm standing at the Bema Seat, God says, well done. And I get great rewards because He knows everything about my life. Then that is the greatest success possible. That is the greatest value possible. Now, there is a key to that. Sometimes people try their best and they fail and they get frustrated and they're afraid that they won't get rewarded because of that. But that's not how it works. Every person is a human being, obviously. That means that every person will, at times, fail, make mistakes, come up short, what have you. That's not what causes a person to lose rewards. The key to this is, in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. Now, Romans 7 was talking about this great battle that Paul had inside of himself, where he wasn't always able to succeed. Sometimes he'd fail, and that would frustrate him. But the key to the whole thing, he found, was that there is no condemnation. You see, it's not that we fail for which we would lose rewards. We'd only lose them if we fail to get back up. If you fail, you fall flat on your face, get back up. Failure is never final with God. Get back up. Don't worry about it. Brush yourself off. Don't even think about it afterwards. If you sin, confess your sin to God, and then continue as though the sin never happened, because God says He doesn't even remember that it happened. Don't worry about mistakes. If you make a mistake, correct whatever the mistake was and continue. That's where the rewards come. Not in the lack of failure, but in the overcoming portion. Yeah, I'm human. But I don't have to live in a failure. I overcome the failure and continue with God. I don't have to live in sin. I overcome sin and I continue with God. I don't have to live in weakness. I overcome weakness and I continue with God. Well, what happens if I fall 10 times today? Then 10 times I get back up and I continue with God. You cannot lose a thing like that. If you continue with God, you don't have anything to worry about. The only way to lose with God is to quit. Stay down after you fall on your face, okay, you're going to lose. Fall on your face and get up, no big deal. Nobody even notices in heaven that you fell on your face except to help you get back up. But there's no loss of reward for that. Just keep going. Don't let anything distract you. Keep going. Make right choices and you'll have great success. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today.